It's indeed good to be with you any time that we can come together with the brethren. It is indeed a wonderful thing. May we not take it for granted in these times that we have to come together. Bear with me as I deal with the technology that sometimes baffles me. I am not the most technologically advanced person. I'm going to start things going here. So this evening, I wanted to speak with you about human relations, and primarily we're going to be looking at the book of Philemon, and we're going to be talking about human relations for this evening. As we go through our lives, maybe we've come to realize that sometimes we have to bear with one another. We have to get along with one another, and we have to take our personalities and work together. We have to work together to come to our common goal that we have in Christ. And sometimes as human beings, and as we can see around us in the world today, right now at these times, this current time in our lives, that there's some strain on the human relations out there in the world. And it is, we have a hope in something greater than anything that we have in this temporal home. So we want to make sure that we work diligently to present ourselves to Christ worthy, that we have done our job and been united with Him. To frame our discussion this evening, I want to turn to Philippians first. And we want to read in Philippians 2, starting at verse 1. Philippians 2, starting at verse 1, says, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." As we look at that scripture, and as we frame our minds to begin talking about human relations in this world, realize that the world that we live in, and perhaps from the very time that you started making friends with other human beings on this earth, the world has primed us for just the opposite. It's primed us to take care of number one, to look out for yourself, to make sure that you can climb that ladder, whatever it may be, at work or in school, and to just make sure that you grapple and hold on to anything that you can to make things as good as you can for yourselves. The world teaches us to look out for number one. As Christians, we have more that we should be doing in our lives. We need to look out for others. When we look around us and see all of the hurt and the pain in this world today, we should look at them and realize that they need hope. They need the hope that we can have, that we have in Christ, and that is available to all men if they would only believe. One of the things that is true in life, in human relations, is that brotherly love refreshes. It's a refreshing thing to come together. It's a refreshing thing to experience the brotherly love within the church. You know, as we have been talking about Philemon, in verse 7 of Philemon, we read, "For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." It's a wonderful thing that we can be refreshed by one another, that we can build each other up, we can edify one another as we come together. And we see that here being noted in Philemon. As we look again, 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 4, says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Again, having our hope focused on heaven after this temporal moment in time. We have together, we can work together towards that hope. Again, how refreshing it is to be with the brethren. As we pause there and think on that point for a moment, stop and ask yourself what refreshes you. Is it indeed true in your life that brotherly love refreshes you? Do you find yourself longing for the next moment that you can come together with the brethren because you know that you're going to be with family? You're going to be with a family that has that eternal hope, that has your best interest in mind, that is not looking out for their own selfish needs? Or do we find more refreshment in maybe our travels? You know, I myself enjoy sometimes my family and I will travel and we'll go to a quiet beach in South Carolina where you can not see a whole bunch of people and you can pretty well maintain modesty in doing so. And we'll have a good time there and we'll enjoy that time. And it's kind of refreshing to do that. But all the more refreshing is the brotherly love we have within the church when we come home. How about work? Some people are refreshed by work. You know, as a preacher, I got to say I'm refreshed by the work that I do. It is a very refreshing thing to come together and to be able to bring a message from the Word of God to you. You know, I spent 15 plus years, as you may know, my father-in-law and I owned a driving school, and we worked in that arena for a good time. And as rewarding as that is, this is all the more, and so much more refreshing to be able to do that. Maybe you are refreshed by your work, but is that what consumes your life? You know, many times if we look around us and look around at the religious world in general, so many people are choosing to spend their time doing things having to do with work or personal desires rather than come together and worship the Lord or even spend time in study. Maybe you enjoy nature. Do nature hikes refresh you? And there's nothing wrong with that. Reading a novel, is that refreshing to you? And then the next thing, are the Scriptures refreshing to you? You know, all the reading that you may do, you may read volumes and volumes of works by man, but do you become refreshed when you read the Scriptures? I hope so. Our worldly friends that are around us, maybe those that are friendships that are left over from maybe a previous time in our lives. Maybe we spent some time in our younger years not seeking after those things pertaining to the Lord. Do those worldly friends still refreshing to us? Or is it now suddenly different because we have a new hope? We have a new purpose in mind. You know, Hebrews 13 and verse 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." And I hope that it does. I hope that each one of us grasps on to the importance of coming together, the importance of having that brotherly love, that connection. It's no mistake that the Lord designed His church in such a way that we would have each other to share this walk together, that we would be able to work towards that common goal. Something else that we should remember as we think about our human relationships is that people can change. Sometimes you have to give them a chance. Many times, and I've been guilty of this myself and in the past, you think of somebody the first way that you ever met them, you know, the condition that they were in the first time that you met them. And perhaps they've made some changes in their lives and you failed to recognize those because we tend to hold on to that which we are exposed to first. And we need to remember to give people a chance. We need to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to give this person a chance because they, as we just read a few moments ago, we esteem them better than ourselves. And we understand that they have a soul that needs saving. They have a soul that needs the gospel of Christ just as much as we do. And we need to bear with them and give them an opportunity. Now, Philemon 10 and 11, continuing our reading here, says, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. Onesimus made a change in his life. Onesimus was formerly useless, but now was indeed useful. It's important that we realize that this can happen to those that we know. Sometimes we might look at somebody and say, oh, I just don't think they're ever going to get it. And we talk to somebody, we share some scripture with them, we share the gospel with them, and it seems like it goes in one ear and out the other. Maybe even rattles around in there a little bit. And that's what we think. And then we walk away with that notion that there's no hope. We shouldn't do that. We need to realize that people can change. We need to realize that the Word is powerful. It's able to do its work. It's able to save. And we need to give it that chance. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's true that people can change, and I certainly hope that as you look back in your lives, if you're a Christian today, you think back to the time before you were. I hope that you can look at your life and you can see that there's a change that has taken place. I hope that you're seeking after those things of a heavenly nature rather than a temporal nature. You know, if we look at the word, even repentance, we understand repentance being an integral part of our salvation. If we even look at that word, it means that it's a change of mind. A change in our purpose in life. When we come up out of the waters of baptism, having repented of our sins, we want to make sure that we have that new purpose in our lives. We want to look forward and have that new goal for the future, realizing that we can change. As much as the difficulties in this world may try to drag us down and tell you can't change. There's no way you can stop these things. People that are dealing with addiction often believe that they can't. But it is possible. After all, isn't that the whole point of what we're doing here today? Change. Coming together, working towards this goal of heaven after a while, isn't that the whole point? That we change and that we become a new creature. You know, as we look into the scriptures, we see an example of teaching. We see the examples of teaching. Let's look at Philemon 12 of verse 14, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Philemon, starting at verse 12, I have sent him back to you, speaking of Onesimus, in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but out of your own free will. Now, we see an example of teaching here in this letter. We see that there's a desire for that voluntary obedience rather than a compulsory action. We need to make sure that indeed, when we come together, when we do these things together as the church, are we here because we're being forced to be here? Is someone saying, you need to be here? When we're children, maybe that happens. Maybe that happens that, you know, we're told by our parents, you're going to come to church. And maybe that's the only reason that some may come. But we want, of course, the Lord desires that we have that voluntary obedience. That was what was desired in the situation of Onesimus. That he be accepted. That this would not be some compulsory action, but it would be voluntary. Because it could have been that Philemon was ordered to do this, was ordered to take Onesimus back. But he didn't. He desired that obedience be voluntary. You know, we look here, this is what we hope our children grasp also while they're in our care. As we raise our children, we hope that in bringing them up in the care and admonition of the Lord, as we bring them to services and perhaps sometimes even drag them in, we hope that at some point they're going to come to that voluntary realization that this is an important thing, that the Word of the Lord is going to do its work in their heart, and then they're going to be coming and seeking after these same things in a voluntary basis, and not just because someone is forcing them to. You know, as you think about this situation here in Philemon, in verses 19 and 20, let's read there. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe me, even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. You know, that's kind of a little remember who you are statement. That's kind of a little nudge in the side there. Don't get too far ahead of yourself. Remember who you are. Remember even that you owe me. Remember that this is your good service. This is something that needs to be done. It needs to be willing, but it needs to be done. Now, this is the desire for the Lord's, for us. This is the Lord's desire for us as we have breath on this earth. This is the desire that we have this voluntary willingness to come together and to seek after His goodwill, to know what the will of the Lord is, to take those steps in our lives that would lead us in that direction, unified together. Now, Paul handled this situation, this delicate situation, very well. If we look through this letter, there's much we can learn. There's much we can learn about human relations by looking at the way Paul handled this situation, handled this delicate situation. We need to look into the Scriptures as exactly what it is for us, an example, a roadmap, and how we must order the steps of our lives as well. Not to mention, as we understand from human relations, that there is neither slave nor free in Christ. Philemon 15, beginning, for perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. You know, those old earthly divisions no longer matter. Whatever people call themselves, whatever divisions that mankind puts in front of themselves, they no longer matter in Christ. As difficult as it is for us fallible humans sometimes, we need to remember that the past is the past. Keep your eyes focused on Christ, because that's the only thing that matters. This is the unity that all mankind needs to this very day, to be one in Christ. All of the issues that drag down our society in this day and age could be quelled by that very simple truth that we need to be one in Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the entire world were to be one in Christ? Wouldn't that take care of all of the heartache and the trouble, the senseless destruction that we see that goes on and has been going on for generations on this earth? Because as humans, we can't look past the end of our nose sometimes to see what the true importance is. Remember Paul's words to the churches in Galatia. In Galatians 3 at verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, or free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's the way we should march forward in our lives. Those are the things that we need to scream from the housetops to our neighbors and our friends, that these divisions no longer matter. That We need to have the work on our human relations and be able to build up relationships with others in Christ, that they might have that hope of everlasting life. Why are we hiding our hope under a bushel basket? Why are we hiding that light from others? We need to scream it from the housetops once again. You know, as we look at our lives and our human relations, sometimes we can see the providence of God. Philemon 15, verse 15 says, "For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever." You ever stop and think about the way things happen in your life and how this might be the providence of God? You know, as I think back in my life, just some of you know that I've been preaching for the congregation in Medina for going on 2 years now. And prior to that, I had been preaching for a few years at different locations from week to week. And the brethren there at Medina asked me an entire year before I accepted to preach. And I said, no. I don't think I want to do that. And as time went on, and as I started to think about it, realizing that I really had a desire to preach, as time went on, realizing that, you know what, maybe this is something that is there. That position is still there, and that desire is there from the brethren. Maybe I should take a hold of that. Sometimes, you know, if you think about maybe you've heard the story of the man who has been a victim of a flood, and he climbs up on his house to get away from the floodwaters, then eventually has to climb on a tree, and he's prayed to God to save him. And a person comes by in a boat while he's on the roof of his house and says, "Jump in, I'll save you." And he says, no, God's going to save me. And so he climbs up the tree. And then a helicopter comes and says, drops a ladder. And they say, "Climb on, we'll save you." And he says, "No, God's going to save me." And then he dies. He drowns, succumbs to the waters of that flood, stands before God and says, "Why didn't you save me?" And he says, "Well, I sent you a boat and a helicopter." Now that's, of course, a fictional story, of course, but we can see that sometimes in our lives we fail to take that lifeline. When someone is sharing the gospel with us, did we turn them away? I can think back to the times that it was shared with me when I was younger, and I indeed sent it on its way. We need to be not be that way, and we need to be persistent with others. We need to be able to recognize those good things that come about in our lives. We will be able to recognize them if we spend our time seeking the will of the Lord. Understanding what the will of the Lord is, we'll be able to see that those opportunities are in alignment with His will. Sometimes we have to get out of our own way. Sometimes we have to realize that God is in control. You know, as we look around us and see all of the things that drag down society, sometimes we think that all is lost. We just need to remember that ultimately God is in control. Romans 8 at verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, the word has been put in front of you that you may hear it and obey it. Isaiah 55:11 reminds us, "So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." Are you called according to His purpose today? Have you answered that call? Will you answer that call today if you haven't? You know, as we think about that statement, being called according to His purpose, Luke 19:10 reminds us, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was the purpose of Christ on this earth, to seek and save that which was lost. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments," 1 John 5:3. If we say that we love God and we find ourselves not walking in the commandments of the Lord, It's a dangerous place to be. Think on that this day. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John 14 at verse 21. And Romans 8 at verse 29 reminds us that we need to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is the template that we have sitting in front of us. If you open our Scriptures and open the pages of the Scripture and read what the will of the Lord is, we understand those things that must be done. We need to be conformed to His image. We need not look like the world anymore. If the world is still dragging you down, I ask you today to please think seriously about that. Don't let the sun go down tonight without making things right with God. If you have not put on Christ in baptism, then won't you be reconciled to Christ today? We understand from the Scriptures that one needs to hear. One needs to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. One needs to believe that He is who He says He is, that Christ is the Son of the living God. If once we believe that, once we have that understanding, the next logical step is that we repent and turn away from our sin, because we realize what His will is. We have that new purpose in our lives. We walk with our eyes on Him and not on the things that would formerly drag us down. We can confess Christ before men, not being ashamed of Him. We are obediently buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. The waters of baptism are where we contact that saving blood of Christ. If you've done those things, that's wonderful. If you have not, don't wait another day. The waters are ready. It can happen today. If you have done that and you find that you've fallen away, we realize that from Revelation 2:10 that we must be faithful until death. There's still breath in your body. You still have to think about these things. Have you been faithful? If you need the prayers of the saints, now that's what we're here for. We're here today together to build each other up, to be that support for one another. If we're struggling in any way, and you need the prayers of the saints, and by all means, let us be a support to you. If you're subject to the invitation, I beg and plead of you to please come forward as we stand and sing.